Everyone, this is Sammy Smemo with the 5252 Ministry Street Talk. Thank you all for listening tonight.
Go ahead.
I know that this broadcast is going all across the world, and I'm so excited to have our guest tonight. But before we get to our guest tonight, you know, we just got to thank God for the night and thank Him for our day and everything. So just open up with prayer, and then we'll get to our guest. Father God, we just come to you tonight with this broadcast, and we're just thinking that it will reach millions out there that are able to listen to this broadcast tonight across the world. I pray for our nation and the world, the hurting people all over the world, Father God. I pray for the brothers and sisters that are standing up for their faith across the world, even when it's to their death. And I pray that they have enough strength to stand up for you, Father God, because it's for you. And Father God, for the ones that are scared, don't know what to do, we're just praying for them to have the strength to endure what's going through there, and for they can just stand for you, Father God, because it's all for you and your kingdom. I pray for all the sick in the world, and I just pray for supernatural healing, Father God, across the world. Father, I just pray for all the hunger over the world to be gone, and for the hungry children to be no more. In Jesus' name I pray that, Father God. Every one of the child out there need to have food in their stomach, not to worry that they're taken care of, Father, but we know that you'll take care of them, and thank you, Father. I pray for all the different things going across the world, like the sex trafficking, and we just pray right now for everyone that's in the middle of that and trapped in that you are just with them and guide them and help them, and just pray that they're not too scared just to try to get out of there, Father God. We just pray that you're with them. Put your angels around them and protect them. I pray for seeds to be sowed across the world tonight from this broadcast and to help the brothers and sisters everywhere that's in need, Father God. I know that you're the only one that can let it grow, but, Father God, we want to plant that seed where you can just grow that the way you see fit, Father God. And I pray for the homeless all over the world. I pray for all the homeless in America and all of our streets everywhere. And I pray for all the missions out here trying to help the homeless everywhere. I pray for the mission fields where people are out there in the front lines just trying to help people out, going places that most people don't want to go, Father God. But we know that you have ones you have sent out, and we are so thankful that we have a show to be able to tell people what we do for. They can get out there for awareness and help others. To help others, Father God, because it's all for you. It's all for your glory. Father God, I pray for everyone that's listening to be free of any abuse or pain from a divorce or relationships, or free of drug and alcohol problems, free of any health problems going on, any finances, Father God, or anything that's holding them back. We pray for all strongholds to be broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray this, Father God. And I pray for the listeners to realize that the only way, Father, to you is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that died on that cross for us. Father, we just thank you for giving your only Son for us to die on that cross, that we should have eternal life with you. We know that he rose in 3 days, Father God, and we are just so thankful that only you, a mighty God like you, could have done such thing, and you did it for us. And Father, we just want to give thanks to you for what you've done for us, for all the blessings. And Father, just thank you for all the blessings that are going to be coming down tonight on this show. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to be part of the show and to guide us and to show us where you want us to go on this conversation tonight. Father God, we just pray for complete release from you, Father God, down on us, Father God, just to let the Holy Spirit fly on us, Father God, and just guide us. And I pray that people realize how much we really do need to stick together as only one God with no walls all across for his kingdom, Father God. And I just thank you so much again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I'm so excited because I have some of my favorite people on the line tonight. You know, I know most of you guys know my story. I've been telling you guys about it. But, you know, I traveled across America in the year 2013. Actually, it was 381 days across America because God told me to go. Went out on faith, and I got to go a lot of really great places. I went to 74 cities and got to preach everywhere, go help and serve the streets with the homeless, and just do whatever they told me to do. I didn't care if it was cleaning a toilet, if it was serving food, if it was just getting to preach or just love on someone. But, you know, I was obedient, and my last stop was in the New York area. And I was so fortunate to go to a place called the Relief Bus, New York City Relief. And matter of fact, I got to stay with them 3 different times, actually. And they were so gracious to take me in and my assistant in when we didn't have money to stay. But they took us in, and we went and helped them. It was just the biggest blessing. And I worked with missions, in the missions everywhere where they have homeless coming to stay tonight. And I also worked at outreaches, which that's really what the New York City Relief Bus is. And they are totally my number one, which I've told them, I'm telling America right now in the world, they were my number one favorite outreach. I have a favorite outreach and a favorite mission across America, and they're my favorite outreach. And so I have the honor of the Vice President, Bill Hoffman, with me online. And then I have Yaz Bahanji with me also. He's the Assistant Director of Outreach and the Internship Director there. So thank you guys for showing up with us tonight. We really appreciate that.
Hey, thanks, Sammy. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Hey, Bill, I'm going to start with you. I just want to have a few things I wanted to ask you. Is, you know, just first of all, tell me how long you've been at the Relief Bus.
Well, I've been here about 24 years, 24 of the 25 that New York City Relief's been moving along.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a long time. And I'm sure you wasn't always a general manager there.
Well, no. I mean, I started out when I was in my 30s, actually. There's a long story, but I had lived a life of debauchery and alcoholism and running around like a lot of other people have, like we serve, actually, and had gone to AA, stopped trying to drink, and after that got saved. And then I started going to Times Square Church in New York City with Dave Wilkerson, and that was a turning point in my life, really. It really gave me a heart to serve the poor. And then when I found New York City Relief at a retreat one weekend, when I was seeking God to find out what I was supposed to be doing with the rest of my life, I found out about New York City Relief. I pursued it, joined, and just started going out on the bus and working on the outreach, and the rest is kind of history.
Right. Well, I love going on the bus out there. It's beautiful. And, you know, you guys have really got it down there. Now, Bill, you're an ordained minister, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, and you're also a Christian counselor.
Pardon me?
You're a Christian counselor also, correct?
Yes, I'm a licensed pastoral counselor.
Yes, awesome. Yeah, so can you just give me a little example of what your job is there?
Well, I'm labeled the vice president and general manager, and most people know vice presidents do everything. And just kind of cover all the bases, but it's really more of an operations function and kind of keeping everything running from the inside out, making sure that all the buses are maintained and running properly, and making sure the people who are in charge of that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and everything that needs to be purchased, because we have a lot of volunteers that stay in the building as well. And the building itself, all the technology, all the stuff that kind of keeps the thing ticking and running, one way or the other, I have my fingers in on those things. Not to mention a pastoral role in the staff, too, because we are a faith community, and we do need to stay healthy and seeking the Lord as a community, which we do, and so pastoring the team is a part of the role as well.
Yes, and you did that quite well, too. I tell you, when I met you, I could just tell that you just had a heart for what you did, and I was just... I love everyone there does. I mean, it's so awesome to go to one place and everyone have the same like heart of Christ. You know, that's really honestly kind of rare. Sometimes you always have something here and there, but I tell you what, I know everybody's there, and they're all just beautiful people. So, Yaz, tell me about you, what you're doing there as the Assistant Director of Outreach and Internship Director. What do you do?
Yeah, as the Internship Director, I'm responsible to... start this program to bring the interns in to form a curriculum for them and just really disciple them, prepare them for ministry and for their leadership role when they leave from here.
Right. I was almost your intern. I really wanted to be there. Matter of fact, my heart's kind of still there. I think that's why I called you guys so much, but God told me I needed to stay down here for a while. But just kind of tell us a little bit how they can come in there and how they can be in an internship program.
Sure. First thing they would have to do is just go on the website, and they would click onto the link. There is an application there. They would fill that out. They would contact me. There is my email is there on the link, and we would just take the process from there.
Right. So do you accept just anybody that wants to become an intern?
No, there are certain requisites that need to be. Obviously, they need to believe in the Lord Jesus. second is, you know, we need a pastoral counsel, pastoral reference. We also need a personal reference, and just we ask certain questions on the application, which if you go on the website, you will see And then that goes on to the leadership board, and then we all kind of see together if they're
right.
a good match. And there's also, they have to raise their own support to come on board as well.
And, you know, honestly, that's a beautiful thing, because that's why I think everyone in your organization is so humble, because, you know what, they're only there because, you know, they're really there for the, it's a calling, it's not a job, and they really have put their life out there just for that reason. And I think that was beautiful when I heard that the first time. It's like, a lot of people want a job. Well, this is not a job, it's a calling. You know, you never know sometimes when you're really having to raise your own support, how much money you're going to get or not have, but they're still there, and they go through that program no matter what. So it's really pretty important, if anybody's listening, that they help an intern out here. They need to keep that support going, because that's how they make it and take care of their family and how they survive to go out and help others.
Well, yes, Sammy, that's the thing, is that I love the scripture about, you know, the hirelings really don't care about the sheep as much as the shepherds do, you know. And
right.
everybody here basically is a shepherd. Everybody's an urban missionary. Everybody raises their own support, essentially, to do what they do. I remember when I first started, you know, I had to work to work, and it was kind of a foreign concept, you know. I had to work to make money so I could work harder. And but I'll tell you, it just forms and shapes the servant heart, of, like you said, of the people who come here and do that, and interns are no different.
Oh, I know. That's just beautiful. That's one of the things I hope that people get from this tonight is, you know, when people go out and they try, you know, there's some people go, and some people have to send people to go. And so I just pray that the people that are listening here understand, if they don't want to go out in the mission field, they don't want to go on the streets of New York City or in Houston, Texas, or wherever it is, well, that's okay. Some people, it's not their calling. But the people that it is their calling, they have got to have some help and support to get out there.
Amen.
They just can't make it without him. You know, I'm strictly on donations myself, and I know that every week, you know, I kind of go, okay, Lord, you know, the whole thing of it is, and I know that you guys are the same way, we all have the faith to know that God's going to take care of us, because if God's in it, I always said he's going to win it. So if he's in it and he sent us out, he's going to take care of us. But it doesn't mean, though, that you think everybody else is going to take care of us. You need to do your part, because if nothing else, you're going to be blessed for helping other people, you know, help other
people. Well,
Sammy,
the thing is, it's so ridiculous otherwise, because, I mean, we got buses that cost $200,000 to buy a bus and convert it, to run everything, you know, the insurances, the money it costs to do this, to facilitate 5,000 to 6,000 volunteers a year. I mean, it's just ridiculous outside of the grace and mercy of God. And the reason is because
this is. Right.
You know,
well,
Isaiah 58 is what we're founded on, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, providing the poor wanderer with shelter, and that's what he said to do, and like you mentioned earlier, everybody's here for the same purpose, and that's, you know, that's really it. It's not to make ourselves feel better or to have the greatest ministry in the world. It's just out of obedience to what God said to do.
That's exactly right. You know, and one thing that people got to understand is that the different missions all over America and the world, we need to work together. There's no my calling or whatever. It's God's calling. You know, God has sent us out to be his army and his hands and feet. And we have to go out forth together, because we together can make a difference, you know. And the army's rising up, and it's getting where you can tell what's going on in the news right now. That, you know, we have got to rise up and help. You know, it doesn't matter where it is. You know, also, too, let's talk about the homeless. You know, of course, we all have the heart for the homeless, because we have all got what you call a pit story. You know, I have one, you have one, and everyone pretty much in your whole organization does. You know, we didn't just wake up one day and say we want to be a missionary or pastor or whatever, or evangelist, whatever our calling is. We all went through something. We found God. We had God, but we ran away from him. And we all have a story where we finally found him, and we finally did our total surrender. So, hey, Jazz, to you, why don't you just give me about 2 minutes or 2 or 3 minutes about how when you know that you did your total surrender and you found God.
Sure. Well, it was through drug addiction. I was a heroin addict. I was really messed up, doing a whole lot of drugs, shooting up and whatnot. My life was a mess. And in the midst of going through a divorce, I really had, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of just going, being able to go no lower, Jesus reached out his hand and he said he loved me and he rescued me and he restored me. And it continues to do so till the day he comes back. So it's just really amazing to see God being so real and tangible in my life.
Yeah, amen. You know, we all have a story. And Bill, I heard a little bit of yours a while ago, but do you have more you want to put in about your story?
Well, I mean, like so many of us, really, we have some kind of background, but I think the particular background of drugs and alcohol, I think God kind of probably handpicked us because we did have that background, you know, and because of there's so many people that we do meet on the streets that do have the same issues. And, you know, that's definitely my background. I ran all over the country kind of looking for it. I don't know if you remember the old days, there was a bumper sticker out that said, I found it. And I forget what it was. I think it was Est or something like that. And it was everybody was always looking for something, and I was too, you know. And I ran all over the country trying to find it. And I found out when I came back to New Jersey after running all over the country and becoming a drunk and drug addict that no matter where I went, there I was. I had to deal with me, and the alcohol and the drugs were just masking that. And I was kind of the king at that. So, you know, I stopped bargaining with God and telling him, you know, God, help me get out of this. I'll never do it again. And I did that so many times, and when I finally hit bottom, you know, and surrendered, then he was able to save me, you know. And as you know, once he saves you, everything changes.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that's the change that everybody who's here has experienced one way or the other, and that's what gives us the love and the authority and the compassion to go out there to the people who have the same issues.
Yeah, that's really true. I know it's kind of hard for some people to understand why we want to do what we do when they haven't really experienced some of the things we have, but I think we all have experienced a little bit of homelessness ourselves, and so we know what it could happen to anybody. You know, there's no respect of any person. It could happen to anyone, you know. So,
absolutely.
You know, it could be your brother. It could be it could be your mother. It could be anyone, you know. And so people need to be aware of what's going on out there, but they also need to know, you know, one thing I really love about your organization is I would love for everyone to know is that not only is he just is New York City Relief just an outreach program, but they bring you in and you can stay there, and you can stay there like I think it's 4 days with them, and they teach you how to be a servant in your own area. So you don't have to only come up there and be a servant in New York City, but you can be in wherever. I mean, California, Oklahoma City, Houston, wherever you are across America, and go stay with them, with your group from your church or whatever your organization is, and they're going to take you out and they're going to show you how to do it. So you can go home and be a disciple. They want to make more disciples for go out in the street to do the same things. And that's what I do down here in Houston. I love it so much. I did it before I went on my mission trip for 3.5 years. And, you know, showing other people how to do the same thing, we can help more people that way. One person is great to go out and do something, but when we make an army and we show them how to go do it and to be an army in their own backyard, it really makes a difference for the kingdom.
Right, Sammy. And when you said earlier about we have to, you know, do this together and stick together, I mean, that's one of the biggest facets of what we do. We've had nearly 70,000 volunteers in 25 years. That's about 5,000 to 6,000 a year. And like you mentioned, a lot of teams come through and stay with us right here in the base of operations. We have a team here from Indiana right now, and there's a church in Indiana, for example, that sends teams several times a year. And they're a financial supporter, a prayer supporter. We have an intern here right now from that same church. And what we find is that churches like to send people here. Well, number one, it's a cheaper alternative as a missions trip financially, and people have to get visas and stuff to go out of the country. But what they do is they send people here because they experience God with the poor. As they learn how to serve, they learn how to love, they learn how to be in community, they learn all these facets. And then they take it home, and they get to implement that whatever way God wants to when they go home. And as you said, you know, making disciples is really the call. The Great Commission is making disciples.
Absolutely, so it is.
Yeah, this is our opportunity to make disciples in a multifaceted way and care for the poor that we're told to do, you know. It doesn't get any better than that as far as I'm concerned.
No, you're right. So if I was a listener, and I was thinking, oh, that's kind of nice. I might get my Bible group to go up there. What would the first thing they need to do?
first thing they need to do is they can go online, as Yaz mentioned earlier, and they can click on the link that says volunteer, and they'll be brought to a place where our volunteer coordinator's email is going to be on there. I hope we changed it. His name is Dan. Or it's
yes,
volunteer at NewYorkCityRelief.org. Excuse me.
Volunteer. Oh, yeah. What is it again? Repeat that again.
Volunteer at NewYorkCityRelief.org.
Right. Good. That's awesome.
Okay,
now, Dan's awesome.
All they have to do is shoot an email in and ask the question, you know, and talk about what time they think or what, you know, what time frame they think they want to come out and volunteer.
There's actually a schedule right there on the website, so you can go ahead and even see which months are already booked and which are not. So that'll give a good time frame as well.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome.
And you know, Sammy, we've been blessed for so many years. We book almost a year in advance in certain cases.
Oh, I hope you're not too booked for me to come up sometime and then fall.
No, we got room for you.
Yeah, good, because I just want to come up and probably be by myself, but I miss you guys an awful lot. But I want to talk about the homelessness in your area. Tell me where all you serve, and tell me a little bit about the stats of what's going on in your area there.
Well, we serve I had a feeling you might ask those questions, so I got some stats together just so that we can get a picture of what's happening in the city, in New York primarily. And the areas that we go to, Yaz is going to talk about, and how many servings of food and how many people we reach. But I was looking at the current stats up right up until June of this year, and I think they're a little bit low, but basically around 60,000 to 65,000 people at any given night are in the shelter system of New York City alone. Now, we serve in Paterson, New Jersey, and Newark, New Jersey. I don't really have the stats there. But, you know, we know that all around in the tri-state area, this is a problem. But those numbers are indicative of the amount of, I mean, we're talking adults and families is 20,000 alone. Children, Sammy, are 23,000 on any given night. And then single adults is 11,000 or so. And that's any night in New York City, and that's just the people that are accounted for in the shelter system. That's not the people who are living, you know, in doorways and in boxes and, you know, on places that, you know, just people walk by all day long. So it's an incredible amount, and we know that we're not here to solve the homeless problem. We're here to minister to the one in front of us, you know, and love them with Christ's love and provide a tangible need for them as well. And do our part. But we're here to bring the gospel to the poor, and that's what we're told to do. Yaz is going to share some information on the spots that we go to and the amount of people that we're able to touch.
You know,
sure.
Before he does that, though, you know, 60 to 65,000, you know what? There's cities that are smaller than that. You know, usually, you know, there's a lot of cities here in Texas that are 40, 50,000. You said 60 to 65,000 on the streets in New York alone. I mean, not including the ones that you don't have a count of, because we don't have a count of everyone, because they don't all turn in the count, and we don't know all that. But can you imagine
that? And not
only that,
Sammy, I was researching this, and in 30 years, from 1984 until 2014, it went from 12,000 to what we have today at 65,000.
Okay, that's unbelievable. Now, of course, we know that overall, well, I know the whole year I was traveling. I interviewed over 100, I have over 100 videos of homeless people that I had videoed their stories of why they were homeless. Now, of course, I talked to thousands. But the number one thing that I got out of all this, you know, besides, you know, there's different types of homelessness as we know, but is that the loss of jobs. Some people, you know, are just fine, you know, barely making it, but they're making it. They lose a job. You're just one paycheck or one bad decision away from being homeless anywhere.
That's correct.
So people have got to understand, you know, even these people, your neighbor may have a roof over their head, but they may not have food in their refrigerator. They may not have electricity. You don't even know that sometimes, or water, but they're barely making it. Or sometimes when they're gone and you don't know what happened to them because they got evicted or they couldn't afford the house, their home was foreclosed on, and they all become homeless. I mean, there's so many people right now. I bet you go in your whole own neighborhood, own subdivision, and there's somebody in there that's going to wind up being homeless because they can't make it because the economy's so bad, or they're losing their job, or, you know, there's a sickness. Now, my deal was I got sick and I lost everything, you know, between that and my depression. But nobody knows it could happen to you. And so we need to pay attention to what we're saying.
It's real people out there that had real jobs and real, they went to school, and I met several people who I knew a guy that had a double master's in divinity. I've met people, that highly educated people, you know, who, I mean, education doesn't solve our problem of being lost and needing Christ, you know, and so there's lots of people out there, but, you know, I've encountered over the years, like, an attitude of heart from a lot of people who think that the homeless, quote-unquote, were kind of born that way, as kind of subculture of people.
Yes.
As if you know, there were just generations of homeless people who just have always been homeless, and they haven't been. Like you said, they're our neighbors. They're the people that are right next door. And I was just reminded yesterday, actually, of a saying that we had back in the AA days when I was going to AA meetings and stuff, and it was this. It was that, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, and you know, we know that. We know that the only reason we're here and they're there is because of the grace of God. And we don't take it for granted.
Right. Well, Yas, why don't you tell us what you've got?
Okay. So, in the city of Bronx, okay, from January to July, the units of food that were served in those months, it was 57,035. The people that were helped, that was 4,642. The volunteer occurrences, 573. Now, this is really good. Prayers, there was 3,721 prayers. There was 38 decisions for Christ. There was 4,089 units of clothing that were given out, 83 Bibles, 362 people helped through resource of information box, 480 kids, and 173 office visits with 142 referrals. Now, office visits are significant encounters where it's a one-on-one counseling and resource visit where we tangibly point someone to a resource and get them help. And this is just in the city of Bronx.
Wow.
From January to July.
Woo. 7 months or 6 months in just in one area. In one area.
That's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something, guys? It's unbelievable. I think that most people have got such a blind eye, and the people are like invisible to them. They don't even notice how many people are homeless around them. And also another thing too is a lot of times the homeless are hit out. And you don't even know they're there because they're, you know, are treated so bad or whatever. They have to kind of hide out just for their own safety sometimes, or worry about somebody calling the police on them or whatever when they're not doing nothing. They're just trying to survive. So tell me about the other areas you guys go to.
Okay, so we go to Manhattan as well. We go to Harlem in New York City. We go to Midtown Manhattan over there in Chelsea Park. And as for the New Jersey sites, we also go to Newark and Paterson.
Awesome. So you have teams that go out on each and every one of those. You guys work like Wednesday through Saturday, is that right?
That is correct. We also have a search and find outreach. It's a mini don't walk by on Thursday nights where it's a foot outreach where all the volunteers, all the church members and so forth and so on, they go out in the train rather than on the bus, and they have knapsacks with different sorts of resources and socks and kits and so forth and so on. And we go out, we help people, we talk to people, we invite people back the next day on Friday to the bus where we can help them.
Right, that's beautiful. We do that down here on Thursday. We of course, just drive up, meet one place, and we walk the streets of Houston, and it's just beautiful. But we go out real late. We don't go out until we meet at 8, and we're usually walking around by 8:30, because what we try to do here is, like, by 8:30, everyone has to be in the missions. So we like to go to the ones that don't go to the missions. We go to the ones that are on the street all night out there. They're really on the very front lines. There's a front line and a very front line, and we like the very front line. And see, we can't help them. And what's good that you do, and I know because we do the same thing, is not only, you know, we're not out there just to give them the food, you know, the food for the body. Not that we don't want to take them a few things, and we want to do that. We buy them food and, or, you know, take them a lunch bag or whatever it is. But we're really there for the spiritual food because, you know, it's kind of like the beggar that was at the gate, Beautiful. He was there at first just trying to get enough money for every day, you know, for that day. But what Peter and him had for him was something for eternal life, you know, for from now on. And so if you go out and we show them Jesus and we show them how they can have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, even though it's still tough out there because, you know, God never said it's going to be easy, but he would never leave us. We know that we have eternal life because somebody's out there. Tell them about it. We are the hands and feet for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by walking out like you guys do, going on a train into town and telling people about that, one is, you know, if you're being consistent like you guys are, because I know being consistent helps them bring the walls down, because you don't go out there and just start throwing Jesus on them sometimes. You just have to get up, be a friend first, and then Jesus, you know, will come in during all that, of course. But, you know, it's so important to be consistent and go out there. But when we give them Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, because the Lord's going to use us, and we do that, it can make a big difference for the kingdom. And what's so good is once somebody's homeless on the street sees that somebody is converted their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're out there, and they're still, and they, their whole life is transformed. You know what? Some of the other homeless people want some of the same thing, and so that's what, you know, us going out and doing that, and letting them show the other people what they're doing. It's making us more and more people for the kingdom, and it's beautiful that you guys do that. I enjoyed so much going with you guys on Thursday night when I was there.
So, well, you know what it is, Sammy. We don't just stop at giving out Bibles and praying for people.
Right.
We do follow up. Visits.
I
we
know.
Continue and we journey with people. So we're not out there to cure the homelessness problem. We are out there fighting hopelessness
yes.
because a person cannot live if they are without hope. And you know, when a person finds hope, they naturally find Jesus because all hope is found in Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, hope is the motivator that, yes, took the words right out of my mouth. I was just thinking the same thing, you know, that that hope is the precious commodity that they don't have, and they're not going to be motivated to do anything unless they have some kind of hope. And so hope is much more precious than the soup or the Bibles, like Yaz said, or even the prayers, you know, because
right.
there's hope that they need to be motivated, and then when they get motivated, and even the little mustard seed of faith that they might have at that point, like Yaz said, we're able to walk them through and journey with them to whatever place that they're going to go to. As long as they'll let us walk with them, we'll walk with them.
Right. And I think the beautiful part about it is, you know, like, you know, he said in the Bible, you know, Jesus went after the one lost sheep, you know. And we do that, too, to go ahead and try to go all the way through helping them get off. We can feed them, pray with them, give them a little hope, but when you follow up like you do and try to get them to the next level, you know, get them off the street as much as you can, or just get them hope or whatever. Like you say, they will go ahead and just try to, you know, first of all, what they're going to do is they're going to receive it from you. They're going to feel good. They're going to go on out with their what's going on with them and everything. So I know that the hope you give them is more important than anything. But, you know, without hope, there's nothing, you know. So praise God for that. And thank God that you guys go out and do that.
Amen.
Also, too, you know, I was wondering, you know, first of all, do we have any callers out there yet? We did a little earlier. Do we have a caller out there?
Got one.
Well, we go ahead and take a question. Yeah, go ahead and take a question. Hello?
They're on the line.
Do you have a question for us? Do you have a question for us? Well, if you guys want to go ahead and call in for a question, you can. Our number is 347-850-8955. So I'm going to ask you, Bill, I know that, you know, I'm going to come up and see you guys this fall sometime for, you know, a few days, but I was wondering, you guys ever come down to Houston and help us sometime?
Well, I think actually Paul, you remember Paul, one of our leaders?
Uh-huh.
He's been down there working with Austin at Metro Relief a couple of times already. Recently,
yeah, I talked to him. He's in Dallas, though. Yeah, he's in Dallas, and I'm going to get him next time he gets down here. Matter of fact, I'm going to get Austin on the show one night, too. But
Well, I think it's for us, it's probably just time, and it's hard to get out of here, you know.
I know.
that's the only problem.
One of these days, I hope that one of these days one of you guys can come down. I already talked to Paul, so when you're in Dallas next time, I want you guys to come down for at least one night and go out when we go out or something. It would be a lot of fun. But if not, I'm going to go to Dallas and be with them. But I just want you guys to know that let me ask you one question. If anybody out there listening right now, either one of you guys can answer this, or if you both have input, it's fine too. If anyone out there listening right now has been hearing all this right here, what would you suggest to them to do in their neighborhoods or in their city?
Is that a question for us?
Yes.
Well, this is what I've learned over the years, is that, I spoke in a church over the weekend and I brought up a topic. It may sound a little heavy or intense or whatever, but what a lot of people have and God's people have a lot of the times is what's called destiny malaise, and that means that they just kind of get in a Christian trap of going to church, for example, on Sunday, and that's about it, and work, and not that that's a bad thing. But we can miss whatever the best thing that God has for us, and I think that's what's sparked when you go on a missions trip, when you come here or you go across. My daughter's over in Africa right now, and her destiny is being ignited completely. And if she hadn't gone, you know, she would have just continued languishing here and not really discovering what God has for her. And I think that's the point, is that I think we all have a responsibility once we have moved into a place like this where, you know, we have the opportunity to reach, you know, literally thousands a year, is that come here, go on a trip, do something that takes you out of your comfort zone and to see what God wants to do with your life beyond what you're already doing. Because I can guarantee that he always wants to do more with us and through us and in us. And that's one of the things, too, that happens here, as you know, Sammy, is that, you know, making disciples is really is helping that person to discover God for themselves and to be activated and released into the things of God for their lives. And so if you're out there in Punkin Hollow and Podunk and whatever other small town you might be from, you know, there's a place that God has for you. You just have to have that passion ignited inside of you and that destiny released.
Right, that's so true. Yeah, and matter of fact, you talked about your daughter. She's on my list to ask you about her. Have you heard from her?
Yeah, we've heard from her. She hadn't said too much, but a couple of Facebook posts, and she said that she may not want to come home, that she loves us, and I'm like, well, that would be fine with me as long as that's where God wants her, you know. But she's over there working with the poor and that actually literally live off of garbage dumps and working with orphans over there in Mozambique. And she is definitely getting her heart changed. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, that's beautiful. And didn't somebody else go with her from there, too?
Yes, Caitlin, who is our assistant to the president here.
Yeah, she's precious, too. Well, I know that those girls are making a difference over there, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's about all of us, you know, making a difference for someone else, not for us, but for someone else, and love. Love conquers so much, and the passion and the love that you guys all have to help the people out there is so amazing, and I'm so excited to know that that I got to be a part of you, some of the things you guys all did there at those times that I was up there, and I can't wait to come back. But I encourage anyone right now that's listening that wants so bad to go out and do something, but they don't know how, you guys can call them. Get on their website. The website's great. It tells all kinds of stuff. But you need to get on their website, call, and try to get up there and be a volunteer. Get your group together to go up there. Now, they're booked because, you know what, they're going to be booked a long time because they're so awesome. Because if you ever go there once, you always want to go back. And so I'm telling you, if you want a life-changing time, and that's it, to go up there with the New York City Relief Bus, I tell you. Hey, also, too, I was so excited when I was up there, and I drove all the way home after I was on the road for 381 days, and I got on a plane a few weeks later, and I flew back up there because calling back up there to help you guys with a thing called Don't Walk By. Why don't you tell me about that?
Well, I was just going to say that, so I'm glad you brought it up. Walk By is really a collaboration, once again, working together with other missions and missional-type organizations in New York that come together once a year in February, the month of February. And every Saturday in the month of February, we recruit a home church in which we provide a hot meal, and then all the resources that Yasmin mentioned that we offer on the bus and more to get people not just off the streets but into a mode of life transformation and whatever help they need to do that. So hundreds of volunteers are combing every block in Manhattan during that month, literally combing the streets, combing the subways, bringing them back to the church, the folks back to the church for a hot meal, have people sit down and talk to them, and then are encouraged to partake of whatever resources that they need. And they're brought largely back to the Bowery Mission, which is the oldest mission in the city, and in that having a bed for the night, but in the morning they're awakened to a hot breakfast, and some of our staff are over there in the morning to do an assessment for these folks and find out exactly what they need. And as Yaz mentioned earlier, we have follow-up staff as well once they're placed into detox, rehab, or other situations to continue to follow up and walk them through the process. And that's such a big part of this, Sammy, as you know. We don't want to just slam dunk people into a detox and say the whole job's done. That's really just the beginning.
Right.
So Don't Walk By is another expression on a couple of levels of not just helping the poor, but also for uniting the body of Christ. I think there's some 100 churches that collaborate for this event, and over 1,300 volunteers in those four-week period. These are people who just have a heart for the poor and have a heart to do what God says to do, and come from all these different backgrounds and all these different churches and come together with a common cause, which is just to go help the poor.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I enjoyed it. I hope I get to come up there next year, because that was pretty life-changing just to watch all that going on. Yeah, I think the best part of it is, though, and I hope that everybody hears this, is that he said they all came together, and that's so important because we all need to come together. It's one God, no walls, and all for his glory. It's not about our glory. It's not about our mission, our ministry glory. It's all God's anyway, but it's for his glory. So I hope that, you know, some people just will, you know, go ahead and just, you know, look at your website and try to get up there. Or they can look at 5252ministries.org and see what we've got going on down here in Houston if they're down in here. Now, we're not as big as New York City Relief, but we do have a lot of great outreaches we're doing at night. But, you know, God is good, and God is everywhere, and people are everywhere. So we need to get off the seats and on our feet and get out there and do something. If we want to change in America, I hope you hear this, guys. If you want to change, instead of talking about it, let's do something about it. Let's get up out of those pews and get out there and do something, because it's so important. A lot of people think that other people are doing it, so why me? Let me tell you, if everybody does that, there's not going to be enough help out there. I promise you, right here in Houston, Texas, there's almost 7,000 homeless on the street here. There's only enough missions for them to go to every night of about half of those. So that other half is on the street. Now, of course, it's nothing like the numbers in New York City. But let me tell you, anybody in the Texas area, Houston area, this is your city. And everyone listening has a city. So there's some out there somewhere in every city that need you. They need love. They need hope. And they need Jesus. But they can start out this one time, and you will always want to go out there and try to help them. You know what? Just because they're homeless doesn't mean they're not smart, they're not educated, they're not talented. I mean, when I was in L.A. and I preached at the L.A. Mission out there, he told me I needed to have my own praise and worship band. Well, I was from Texas. I didn't know anybody. But I had been on the streets for 3 or 4 days, and I thought, you know what? I do have a praise and worship band, because I thought that a lot of people could sing and dance and play the guitar. So I went and gathered up my friends from Skid Row, and we went and we rocked that house. And the people that were there doing this is the best praise and worship and night they'd had, and they couldn't even remember. But, you know, just because you're on the street, you know, it doesn't mean that you're a less a citizen. It doesn't at all. It just means you need help, because I promise you, it could happen to you. It happened to me. It can happen to anyone. And I just pray that if nothing else, right now tonight that God is softening some hearts to hear that if they see me by when they went to work yesterday or today or the last week, that they go by there next time instead of turning your head. Sometimes just a smile can make a difference in somebody's life. But, you know, I just pray that, you know, they want to do more than that. But getting the church outreach programs, do something. You've got to do something for a change. You don't know, if you don't know what to do, it's okay. Not all of us woke up knew exactly what to do. But we went out there and we found somebody. I'm telling you, you can call New York City Relief. You can call 5252 Ministries in Houston. You can call your church. They will take you or tell you. Or call a mission. You know, AGR and Mission, American Gospel Rescue Missions are all across America. You can call any of them. They all need help. Work in a mission. If you don't want to go in the streets and walk the street at night, that's okay. You know what? You can even help by, you know, helping in the office, in the break rooms, the lunch rooms, the clothing rooms, the whatever it is. There's so many things that you can do. But you know what? You've got to do something. You've got to do something. And you know what? You may think you're out helping someone, but you're really receiving the blessing because you'll never be the same. Don't you agree, Bill?
Well, that's what it says in Isaiah 58, as I mentioned. You know, if you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and provide the poor wanderer shelter, that your light rises in the darkness, your gloom becomes as the midday, you'll call, the Lord will answer. It goes on and on, you know, the promises of God. If he, like you said, if you do what he says to do, you know, that's all we do. We just do what he said to do.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
You know, and if we do that, then he's with us. You know, Bono from U2.
Really
powerful statement. He said, if we're with them, then he is with us.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right.
If we're with the poor, then God is with us.
That's
and
beautiful.
I think that's why, you know, because like I said before, it's all grace that we're here doing what we do and we're as blessed as we are. Because we just do what God says to do. And it's not complicated. You don't have to have gone to, theological seminary or Bible school or be special. That's what's so cool. We meet with 5,000 volunteers a year, and most of them have never done this before. And they come out, we train them up. We tell them they don't have to be super Christians. They don't need to know all the scriptures. They just need to be obedient and do what they do and show up. Just suit up and show up.
Right.
You know, for God, and God will, like you said, will bless you for doing that. He'll bless you, you know, and the life change that happens, man, I'm talking 25 years nearly for me alone, and I couldn't sit here on 10 of these radio shows and tell you all that God has done, not just through me. I could tell you tons of stories about changed lives that I've had the opportunity to touch, but in my own life at the same time, you know, how changed I am. So change,
yes.
And that'll happen the minute you step out. That's it.
Yeah, that's amazing because most people think, it's really so true, but that we're going to be blessed for what we do. And some people just think that they're out. Sometimes people will all volunteer one day a week, like on Thanksgiving, you know, want me one day a year. Everybody goes on Thanksgiving, but see, a lot of people go on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I don't know about what your history is with that, but I always kind of feel, everybody has their own opinion, but I just kind of feel like, you know, it's great that people go out there on Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I know a lot of people have a spirit to give at those times of the year, but what really I think it is that they forget that the other 300-something days a year, those people still eat and still need love and they need everything. They don't need it all in one day. They need it throughout the whole year. So if we can go out on different times, other than holidays even, what a great time to do that. You might get to really know somebody because they're not so bombarded by everybody trying to help them, but you can sit down and break bread with them or get to know them, you know, or, you know, buy them a cup of coffee or buy them a lunch from McDonald's or whatever. So,
and, Sammy, you know, a great place to start is your own neighbor.
Absolutely.
You know? Just do something nice for your neighbor and watch the funny face he gives you, you know?
Right. That's right. I think...
That's really where it starts, you know. It starts right next to you. Who are we serving? Who are we loving? Our neighbor.
Right.
And it
absolutely
from there.
You know, sometimes it's even down the own hallway of your own house. Sometimes you just don't realize. Maybe not homelessness, but somebody that really needs to just to have a friend and have hope. You know, sometimes we're in your own family. I think we have a caller on the line. Hello.
Yes. One of the questions I raised. I'm hearing they from Bronx, New York.
All right. Do we have a caller on the line from Bronx?
Yeah, that was me asking.
Okay.
The question is, okay, since I'm hearing what they do, how can I help more in the ministry where I'm located here in Houston?
Go ahead, Bill.
Bill?
But I'm a little confused. Is he in the Bronx or in Houston?
In Houston. I'm just saying,
what can we
do in Houston similar to what you're doing in Bronx so we can pattern the same thing down here in Houston?
Well, that's what Sammy's doing down there, is doing exactly, well, not with the bus or anything like that, but, I mean, catching a vision for the poor and then asking God to show you however he wants you to do something is really how this started. I mean, the guy who started this, Rich Galloway, he didn't know what he was doing. He was a millionaire at one point, and, you know, God made sure that that was going to be over with and that he wound up with a silly old white school bus and didn't know what to do with it. And then he, you know, one person got connected to him because he had a vision, and he said, why don't you, you know, take it to feed the poor in New York City? And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And the original plans for the bus was drawn on a napkin by one of Richard's kids,
mm-hmm.
as the relief bus, and it got formed and shaped out of that ridiculousness, you know. So God takes it's the foolishness of God that confounds the world, and just stepping out and doing whatever God tells you to do, as long as you got a heart for it and something, some vision planted in your heart, he can do miracles with you. I mean, this is proof of that.
Amen. But
I think
that's right.
Amen.
Yeah, just
Amen.
Doing it.
Amen.
Like Sammy said, just going out there doing it, getting a heart, and then God will begin to show you what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Yeah, just give us a call. We're doing some of the same things. The whole thing of it is if you don't know what to do, we'll show you. You know, same thing they're showing people when they come up there. We love Houston. They love New York City, and we do pretty much the same thing to a degree. We don't have the bus, but you know what? My bus is coming, Bill. It's ordered. I just haven't seen it yet. I don't know where from yet, but it's coming.
Awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, if that's what God wants me to do. If not, I'll just be doing other things. It doesn't matter. I love going on the streets, and I like walking around, so that's all good, too. But,
no.
You know, I don't know. I just know that we have to all do something. So, anyway, I just want to tell you guys, I really appreciate you guys being on my show tonight, and, you know, God is good, you know. I like it because, you know what, we met for a reason. We didn't know why, you know, over a year and a half ago. But you know what? We all have the same heart, and we all try to get out there and help our fellow man and just do what God wants us to do. You know, we all have callings. And you know what? Each and every one of us out there, when we were born with an assignment that God had for us, you know, and a lot of us don't know that. But we all have something. We just have to get God to reveal it to us, but we have to ask him to reveal it. Just come knock at our door. We have to get out there and ask God to please show you what your assignment is and what your calling is. You know, you don't have to have some big calling to go on the street to have a calling. You could do different things, you know. You could help single moms. You could, you know, help the elderly. There's all kinds of things to do. But we all have something. Every single one of us that have ever been born was born with an assignment. And so I just pray that whoever's listening to this right now, that they can just ask Jesus to show them and tell them what their assignment is and that they can be downloaded on them so they can get out there and make a difference for the kingdom. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that it's great to have a talk show to get to talk about things. I know a lot of people are listening, and I'm just so thankful for that. I was hoping that some more people would call in tonight, but that's also okay. You never can tell. Sometimes we have a lot, sometimes we don't, but it's all right. I know they're listening because we can tell they're listening and how many people we have listening. And we're so thankful. This goes out to millions across the world. And we're just thankful that, you know, God is so good and he loved us, you know. And I'm just so thankful, you know. We all have a pit story. And I know that somebody out there listening right now thinks that God will never forgive them, that God is just going to turn their back from them because they have done so many bad things. But let me just tell you, whoever's listening to this, this is for you. This is for you, that Jesus loves you just where you are, just where you are. He doesn't care if you did drugs. He doesn't care if you've got alcohol or if you've done this stuff. But he's there with his hand ready for you to grab it and say, come, son, come, daughter, I'm here. But you have to make the first step. You have to go out and say, Father, save me. I'm a sinner. And just put your hand out there and watch Jesus grab you and watch him just take you and transform your life and put you in a place you never dreamed. You can soar higher in the sky than you ever dreamed that you could. He loves you. There is nothing for someone listening right now. There is nothing that you have done that can keep your love from being given to you from Jesus. He loves you. He died on that cross. Do you know why he died on that cross for you? He died on that cross for you and took on your sins and took on your burdens. So don't let him die in vain. Give it to him and let him be God because you're not God. He will take that. He will show you his love. He's got love more than anyone can ever imagine. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And I know that somebody out there tonight, I'm praying right now, is going to receive their assignment from our Lord Jesus Christ, but don't know what they're supposed to be doing because we all have one. And I'm praying right now for God just to download that right now across the world to just let people receive what you have for them, for they can go out and take their calling to the streets or to the church, to the orphanage, wherever it is that they're supposed to be going, Father, because we know that you know. And you know what, God? You're a mighty God, and we know you can take care of any situation those people are in right now. Father God, bless the homeless. My heart's at the homeless. But, Father, bless the children on the streets. Bless the hungry. Bless the mentally ill that are on the streets that don't know, that need help, a different type of help, Father God. Just bring somebody that wants this just to help only the mentally ill. Somebody, take some other people out that just want to help people to help them find jobs. Pastors and apostles and preachers and teachers all over. Go, do what you're assigned to do and make a difference for the kingdom. Father loves you so much. Whoever's listening, it's right now. You're thinking you'll never be forgiven, but I'm telling you, you're going to be forgiven. And let me just tell you what, for the ones that are out there right now, I want you to think, oh, he would never forgive me. I'm here to tell you that he would. And I want to tell you what, right now, if there's anyone out there that would die tonight and not know for sure if they went to heaven or hell, but that is your choice. It's either heaven or it's hell. But let me just tell you, if you're not for sure, we're all going to say a prayer together. And I want you just to say it wherever you are in this whole world and repeat after me. Because you know what? We're only guaranteed this one breath right now. You are only guaranteed this one breath, so don't wait. You don't know if it's going to be your last. Because once you're gone, you can't repent or ask God to forgive you or save you. So right now, let's just all come together and grieve it and just repeat this prayer and just know that the Lord loves you. He's wanting you. He wants you to come and be his child. He loves you above all. So Father God, I'm a sinner, but Father God, I know you're my Savior, and I know that you love me. Please forgive me for my sinning. Father God, just forgive me. I am all yours. Take me and show me what you want me to do, Father. I love you. I know you gave your Son to die on that cross for me, and I know that he rose in 3 days. Father God, thank you for saving me and loving me. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for not giving up on me. Father God, thank you for showing me that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all said across the world right now, we all say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for saving a meek like me. If you said that prayer, you don't have to worry anymore about if you're with God or not, or Jesus or not. But what you have to worry about is what you do forward. Because, you know, when you give your life to the Lord, he doesn't care what's behind you. He only cares what's in front of you. So he wants you to go forth and seek him. Seek him for all understanding. Lean on him for everything. He is your Father. He is your Father that loves you unconditionally. He loves you. And what's so good is, you know what, you may fall and think, oh, no, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I turned around and I did drugs again, or I did alcohol again, and he won't forgive me. But that's not true. That's when you repent and ask him to forgive you, that you slipped and that you're sorry, but Father, just forgive you and just to keep going. Just keep showing me the path, that narrow gate you want me to go down. Because I'm here for you, Father. I'm here to help others. I love you and thank you. Woo, thank you. And thank you,
Hello,
Holy
sister.
Spirit, for being here tonight. Woo!
Amen. Hello,
Woo.
Sister. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, this is Ananias. I was really enjoying the program on tonight, you know, and it made something. Well, I think the brother said that it's not a job. It was a calling in his life,
yes,
to go to the hunger and feed them and give them shelter and different things like that. You know, and I'm a young man in the ministry, and some time ago I was doing prison ministry. And it wasn't a job. It's something the Spirit of the Lord had called me out on one night,
yes,
and I did answer yes to the word, because he asked me, would you like to go into the prisons? And you got a lot of brothers and sisters now in the prisons right now and have a hunger for the word. And that's a beautiful thing that men and women of God can go out to people today on the streets, not only in the streets, but in the prisons as well.
Yes.
And my heart was truly blessed because, you know, the Lord had blessed myself with my own ministry at that time, you know, being a young man and things. And it was amazing how God blessed me. And when I answered yes, the very next day I called a brother on the phone, and he never had the time just to hold a conversation with me. But the very next day I called him up, he asked the very same thing. The Spirit asked me, would I like to go?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I said, yeah. And so, and that's what I did. I did well over 10 years exactly, I would say. And I thought I lost it when I started this new job, of which I'm on right now, because I do a worldwide import and export, import and export. And I thought I lost that ministry at that time, but then I found out a lot of the brothers was coming out of prison into that same field, import and export. And I was so blessed to know that I was still able to help. And at the time when I was doing this, doing the works of the Lord, right, and those guys, their brothers and sisters, was coming home. And I never turned my back, not one time. If you ever was in, call me. And I was always there for them. And
Thank
I done
God.
That. And many men
That's
and
beautiful.
Women just came home and done good for themselves. Really have done good. And so I was really blessed.
Well, that's awesome. You know, God, you know, uses all of us in different areas, you know, if it's prison, streets, even down to office work or cleaning up to missions or whatever it is, you know, whatever we need to do our best, you know, the best we can do. And whatever it is, you know, I volunteer, I work, I go in the streets, and I do it with a smile on my face because I know that Jesus wants us out there, and he wants us to teach the people in prison. It's great that you go out there. Hallelujah, because those people need Jesus like the people everywhere do. You know, it doesn't matter if they're in there or not. And the one thing about it is they have a little more time, hopefully, to study the Word of God. And, you know, and hopefully they can become disciples in there to go out and hit the streets and help the people that are homeless out here.
Amen. And, we did a shelter, you know, ministry too as well, you know, and we were able to go into the shelters and give word, you know. Little small things, like we'll say tangible things, you know, we was able to take gifts, Bibles, you know, clothing to the brothers and sisters that, you know, that was in shelters at the time, you know?
Right.
And like I said, I was truly blessed, you know, I cover a lot of areas in the state of Texas at that time.
Oh,
of, you know,
well, awesome. Praise God. Well, you know, we appreciate you calling in. It's beautiful to know, you know, there's, you know, people listening and, you know, doing other ministry work, because we all together can be the change. We can be the change. You know,
yes,
maybe we can't help everyone, like Pastor Bill said a while ago. We can't all help all of us in homelessness, but we can help one person at a time. And, you know, and that's what we can do. And try to help them totally out of it if we can is the best, you know, or help them get in a program where they can take over and help. But, you know, the follow-up care that we give who we're with, it makes amazing, is amazing. But, you know, like yesterday I received a phone call from one of my guys that's in the homeless state down in Houston. I've been praying with him for weeks. And, you know, it's a beautiful call. You know, he calls me and says, you know, Miss Sammy says, I got my apartment. I move in on Thursday. We have been praying for that guy to have a place for weeks to get off that street, actually for months to get off the street, and it finally came through. So, but, you know, it was a good feeling. So you're talking about getting blessed. I was blessed to know, but he called me. He found out and called me what a blessing I received from him. And he was the homeless guy sleeping on the cardboard, but I received that blessing. And
amen.
Everyone that does ministry work, we do. We receive blessings.
Amen.
Woo!
It's a joy.
Do we have another caller on the line? Did I hear a click? Well, I want to thank you so much for calling in and everything today. And hey, Bill and Jazz, I just want to appreciate you guys getting on the line and talking, hanging out with me on the line tonight. You guys are a true blessing to everyone that you come in contact. Your whole team is. I love all of them. I miss them all. And so I hope to get out there and see you guys this fall up there. And it was pretty nice and cold when I was up there every time, but it's okay. I got my New York City clothes now.
Well, we look forward to seeing you again, Sammy. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Well, God bless y'all. Thank you. Take care.
Take care, Sammy.
Yeah, take care. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, I just wanted you guys to all know that's listening out there. We really appreciate it. And I just want to pray out before we leave because, you know what, with God, all things are possible. And just this radio show is possible because of God. It was nothing I was seeking, but it came to me. And it's been a blessing. I did 5 hours pretty much last week and do the Wednesday night show every night from 8 to 9 Central Time. So I encourage you to try to listen. And we've got some really great guests lined up for the rest of the month, actually the rest of the year. So you'll be hearing from people from L.A., some more people from New York City that actually that Bill and them all know. And so there's a lot of people across America that are working with the homeless and the needy. It's not just homeless, but the needy also. And we all just got to get together and just tell what we do and how we can get an idea maybe, if nothing else, or how we can go help some other people out here. You know, be a blessing to someone else. Be a blessing to someone else. Because when you're a blessing to someone else, you receive the blessings. Father God, we just come to you and just say thank you so much for this time on air. We hope that just millions of people across the whole world got to hear this, or whoever it is you wanted to hear, if it was 10, or if it's 1,000, or if it's 10,000. We know that you had the people there to hear this tonight. And Father God, we just pray that they get out there and just do something in their neighborhood, Father God, for your kingdom. It's for you and your glory, Father God. And we just thank you so much. And we, for all the blessings, what you're doing in our lives, and how you bring us together, and how this media can bring people together across America, that we can get together and just know that we can talk about what you're doing in their cities, and how we can just make a change together and be the change for someone else, because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about you, Father. It's about you and the glory for, and kingdom forever. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. We pray to you and thank you. Thank you so much. Amen, Father. And thank you to all the listeners out there tonight. And guess what? 5252ministries.org. If you have any questions, you can give me a shout. But, you know, next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, tune in. It's going to be an awesome show. And I'm just so thankful for the relief team in New York City that was on tonight. And God bless. And I'm signing out now from Houston, Texas. So God bless. Go be a difference for someone else tomorrow.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
Not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James,
well, hello there.
It reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So
hey.
God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the
but that's all right. How you doing?
First of all, from sixth chapter, the ninth through the tenth verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
He wants you to walk his dog.
It is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said. So it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Verse 2. But
okay.
Even as thy soul prospered.
Oh.
Again, 1 John the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, straighten and ask for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom shadow of Christ. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Well, you know what? Are you going back to work tomorrow?
And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26.
I want you to take me to the church tomorrow evening at 5:30.
The Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll be here waiting on you. And I'll get somebody to take me over there and pick me up. Because we got a big meeting at my church. You know, where I go there on Main Street. It's on, we can go straight down across Timber, cross on the 45, and make a turn on Aldine Airline, and make a right, and then go to 6604 North Main, and you can leave me there. We got a big meeting tomorrow night.
No.
This is down near downtown. It's on 16. We're gonna stay on the northern side. We're not gonna cross over 16. See, we're on 16 where I live at. We take Cross Timber. We can leave from our home, go straight to Cross Timber, and we can stay on it and go straight over there and make a left on Airline and go to 16 and make a right. Then we go up about a block or so with North Main.
And thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy.
Because, I mean, it's where we live at. It's on the other side.
So Abraham,
and we just got a big board meeting here tomorrow night. And I said, well, the best thing to do is get to Ananias, if not busy, and I'll take care of it. But, man, you had great words tonight on the radio. I said, let's go Ananias.
2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal.
Well, you know what's going to happen, man? You know what's going to happen? I heard today that the governors are going to have to release these prisons because it's a statement made by the Supreme Court. They're going to have to release these people. One man was doing life for 17 blocks of marijuana. And he's 60-some years old. Ain't never seen his son, his grandson. So, but I want to let you know, Ananias, you did a great job tonight, man. You did a great job. Your voice was clear. I said, listen, Ananias, Well, I'm gonna get myself, ready, cause I come in there. I got it working pretty hard out there, Tia. They working pretty hard. So I'm gonna rest myself in. Okay, all right. I'll be looking for you. Okay, God bless you. Okay.
Psalm 67:2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one people perfect among their tribes. Psalm 103:3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of anguish. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come by thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample unto feet. Because he has set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 9:11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, and not faint. Isaiah 65:22. Thou shalt not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew 4:23-24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:5-10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal thee. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew 8:14-17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid, and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know him. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately let him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the people, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh to the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place under the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the slave. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be witness. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came of the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging me, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, that came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, Arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know him, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in bed those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He said unto her, For this sake, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published him, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh them, he teareth them, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried, and he fell on the ground and walked on the floor. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, thou art the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and to come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good, or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole and the public. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virgin out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke 13, chapter, verses 11 through 17, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, glorifying God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him alive, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, the night when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came. Seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When you called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they were preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word, signs followed. John the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken causes, and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, holding in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. No, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, because the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the court that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto him, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, now notice that, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even time. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to him. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the invoked man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he crucified, whom God raised to the dead. Even by him that this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is our salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11 verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, your children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over them, under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all sick. John 1:1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin read, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, reading the entire chapter. Then Galatians 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city. Cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto mortal people, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before thee. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth. No man shall pray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the bots of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, and the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed all these, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes when thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore box that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the fields and gather but little in of the locusts of the sheep. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worm shall eat. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees of the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Wherever all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God, rejoice in it, and with gladness of heart, from the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. They shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not be thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall be seen to thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, about all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seas, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall eat. So that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the seas, and in the straits, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates, the tender and delicate woman of thee, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seas and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy flags wonderful, and the flags of thy seed even great flags, long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which I was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were the stars of heaven among thee, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen. Bond women, and no man shall buy you. And now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning the first verse, reading the whole chapter. All foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having none of the Spirit, or are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed through faith of Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not a thing, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not in the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that is confirmed with God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serving the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee till thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, there are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is the curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from the sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness, or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from the ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it. a curse of the law, confesses the curse of the law, then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, therefore I am redeemed from the sickness, dispensed by your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again, and then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from and specified your sickness.
Ugh.